24 minutes to 12 o'clock. It is a Thursday morning. Very iffy weather morning out there. I don't know. Shouldn't we be in summer, kind of like sitting at the beach and, non-alcoholic sundowners and enjoying ourselves? But yeah, it's an iffy weekend out there. But I think in summer we enjoy the cooler days. And the cooler days are also the cooler days of pension. And are you fully prepared for your pension? Today we're doing a bit of a deep dive into the importance of understanding your pension. It goes off your salary every month, or maybe you are a freelance worker, because that's one of the things I'd like to touch on, is a freelance worker, contract worker, and how do you take care of a pension and such. But there's no time like the present to give you a refresher course on how pensions work, how their value is calculated, and why these pensions are so important. And to help us understand that, Brett LaDouche, author at Pensions for Palookas, takes us through that. Brett, a very good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Zane. Thank you for having me on your show today.
I think let's start out with exactly how does a pension fund work. And I know that a number of our young people are going to sort of head into companies and they're going to say, you have a UIF that's going to be taken from your money, we're going to take pension from your money, or we're going to take provident fund from your money. How does a pension fund work?
Okay. Normally, if you are an employee, belonging to a pension fund is one of your conditions of employment. So when you start to work at a company, there would be certain benefits for you in terms of your contract of employment. So the company would say you're earning 10,000 rands a month, but you must also belong to the company's pension fund and maybe to the company's medical scheme. And sometimes there's also a group life insurance scheme that insures your life, group life and disability scheme, that you must also belong to. So that is those are normally conditions of employment. So your employer will say you must belong to this fund if you want to work at this employer. Now, things are a bit different for freelance workers, because they are normally not employees. They are independent contractors. So normally, if they get a contract with someone, they will say, we will pay you 10,000 rands a month, but that is it. You don't have to belong to our pension fund. Well, you cannot belong to our pension fund, and you cannot belong to our medical scheme. You've got to make those provisions for yourself.
Mm. And when you look at the different types of funds, and where does this actually fit into your contract of employment? But also when you look at the different funds, you've got a voluntary retirement fund and a compulsory retirement fund. Give us the difference between those two.
Yeah. The ones that I just spoke about, those are your compulsory funds. It's normally a pension or provident fund that is linked to your employer. So your employer participates in a fund. So it might either be an employer that sets up their own fund exclusively for the employees. Alternatively, that employer can participate in what they call an umbrella fund that caters for different employers. So that is normally your compulsory plans. Your voluntary schemes would be, for example, your retirement annuity plans, where self-employed people can also make provision for their retirement, but they participate in that fund on an individual basis and on a voluntary basis. So there's no contract of employment forcing them to participate in a retirement annuity fund.
Chatting this morning to Brett LaDouche, who's the author of Pensions for Palookas, and having read through this book, it kind of opened my mind to a lot of different things, because when you look at the benefits and for retirement funds, for instance, you're looking at retirement benefits, death benefits, disability benefits, withdrawal or retrenchment benefits, home loans, as well as protection against creditors. So, and we were actually chatting about illness benefits to one of the big insurers during last week. Does all of this cover, or do you have to sit down with a financial planner and say, I want the death benefit cover, but I don't want the disability cover, or I don't want the retrenchment cover, Because before, when you were a school teacher, you were kind of like guaranteed your job. But these days, you have to look into all of these as a comprehensive retirement.
Yeah. What I say then in my book, in a lot of chapters, what I keep on repeating is, speak to a knowledgeable financial advisor. The purpose of my book is to give people some insight to ask the right questions when they sit down with their financial advisor, to at least have an idea of what they are talking about with their financial advisor, and to a certain extent to level that playing field, because Somebody who read the book said, well, it answers some of all the dumb questions that I never want to ask because I don't want to sound dumb. And I think that is the importance of the book, to give you an idea of what's going on in your pension fund and to then have those conversations with your financial advisor to structure the benefits according to your own needs and wants. Because remember, a pension fund would say you can take out life cover between, let's say, 1 million and 5 million rand, but it's going to cost you a different premium on the 1 million than on the 5 million. And then you've got to sit down with your financial advisor to find out, do you need only 1 million or do you actually need 5 million because you've got a wife and a family to cater for if something should happen to you?
Also, you know, how are pension funds regulated in terms, you know, and how are they insured in terms of how much pension you need and stuff like that? But also, how are pension funds then regulated? Because a lot of people will ask the question, is my money safe in a retirement fund or in a pension fund?
Yeah, that's actually one of the chapters in my book where I go into detail how am I protected? So there are different protection mechanisms. The first and most important one is you've got the Pension Funds Act. And in terms of that act, every fund has to be registered with the Financial Sector Conduct Regulator. So each and every fund must be registered. They must also be authorized by SARS because you're getting certain tax benefits when you make contributions to your fund, and all the income in that fund is not taxed. So to get those benefits, the fund also needs to be registered. Each fund is managed by a board of trustees, so they've got certain legal obligations in terms of the Pension Funds Act to look after your money and to make decisions that are in the best interest of all the members of those funds. So pension funds in South Africa are very well regulated.
So your money is quite safe there. Chatting this morning.
Yes, your money is very safe in a pension fund. I think from a regulatory standpoint, all the checks and balances are in place. And I don't think people have to fear that if they belong to a pension fund that somebody will disappear with their money. There are a lot of checks and legal checks and balances in place.
We hear a lot about this PIC story and then we kind of start wondering ourselves, but that's a different story at all. Chatting this morning to Brett Ledoux, he's the author of a very good book that even if you're just entering into the workplace at the moment or you are retiring from the workplace at the moment, you need to get this book. It's called Pensions for Palookas. In Chapter 11, you deal with what happens to my money, and in Chapter 11 you deal with what happens to my money when I retire, sort of decisions at retirement. I think they used to call it in the olden days a one-third commutation. I don't know if they still call it that. And then also what happens to my money when I die.
Yes, I think it's important for people to know. What I try to address in the book is that whatever, let's say at retirement, before you start making the decision of what to do with your money, you should first know what you are going to do. What are your life plans? And the two decisions, the one should synchronize with the other one. Because it's no use, for example, you deciding, no, but I'll keep on working for the next 5 years and your employer allows you to do that. And you take a large chunk of your money in cash and pay a lot of tax on it. Whereas you could have left that money there for 5 years if you don't need the money and build up more resources for your later years.
And that brings me to a very important point, and I think you also run through this in your book, that actually retiring at the age of 55, retiring at the age of 60, retiring at the age of 65, and even retiring beyond that, because I think somewhere along the line the pensionable age should be pushed to 70.
Well, what we've seen is that over the last couple of years, it came down from about 65 to 60. And I know one of two employers that pushed it up from 60 to 65 again. But I haven't heard of anything of going up to 75 yet.
But, you know, this is the important thing. What happens in the different stages of exactly at which stage you actually withdraw your money? You get to the age of 55 and you feel that you still have 5 years worth of work left, or you get to the age of 60 and you still feel that you can work to 65. That must have a very big impact on the amount of money you receive from your fund.
Yes, because what you normally find is, let's say if you started working at the age of 20 or 25, in those first couple of years, if you look at the growth of your value of your company, the largest factor that drives the growth will be your contributions that you make. But in your later years, if you've been a member of a fund, let's say for 30 years, and you're now aged 55 to 60, a lot of that growth that you're now getting is your investment income. So what you're actually losing, if let's say you've got R1 million at age 55 in your fund, and you're getting an investment return of 10%, let's say R100,000, what you're actually going to lose is that R500,000 growth, plus the growth of that R500,000 over the next 5 years. So you're probably going to have at least R1.5 million in 5 years' time from now. So you're losing. You're losing that R500,000 growth. So if you look at the difference between the million you're taking at 55 and the 1.5 million that you might be getting at age 60, I mean, that's a third difference between the two.
In table 5 of the book, you talk about the effect of tax savings, and I know that you talk about this as a love-hate relationship, you know, between you and the taxman. And also in table 8, you expound on this. You talk about the scale of the tax scale for retirement, retrenchment, and also for death benefits. This is a relationship that you enter into right from the start when you actually start looking at pensions, isn't it?
Are you talking about the effect of tax?
Yes, the effect of tax.
Yes.
You know, the moment you sign up for that pension, you know that someday the tax man is going to say, here's my cut of that cake.
Yeah, if you look at one of the sketches, I think it's chapter 9, where I talk about the effects of... No, that's not chapter 9.
You talk about the...
Where I talk about how does tax affect my retirement savings.
Yeah, you talk about that in table 9,
So my son did a nice sketch there at the beginning of chapter 8, where they've got Sas as a picture of, on the one hand, it's Father Christmas, and on the other hand, it's the Grim Reaper. And the idea behind that picture is to say that there are certain tax benefits. For example, your contributions to your fund, they are tax deductible up to a maximum of 27.5% of your income and limited to 350,000 rand per year. So you're getting that benefit for all the money you put into your pension fund. The other benefit that you also get is that any growth on that money while it's in your pension fund is tax-free. So those are the benefits. That's where the tax man is Father Christmas, by giving you those tax benefits. But on the other hand, if you take money out of the fund, there will be tax payable. So if you take a lump sum at retirement age, let's say a third of your money in your fund as a lump sum, then you're going to pay a lump sum tax on that according to a certain scale. And then if you take a monthly pension, you're going to be taxed on that monthly pension on an as and when basis as you receive that money. So I think overall, the benefit of having that growth and having that upfront tax deduction makes up for the tax that you might be liable to pay. But even when you have to pay that tax, you can still structure, get your financial advisor and your tax advisor to structure it in such a way that you pay the least amount of tax.
Chatting this morning to Brett LaDouche, author of Pensions for Palookas, and this is a good book which has got such a lot of knowledge in it. It is written in a sort of a very, very acceptable manner for anybody to sit out there and read and understand exactly what happens to your pension. Because, you know, it is something that you don't discuss and you say, I'll pay my pension for the next 30 years when I'm working. But the dynamics of work has actually changed these days, Brett. People don't work in organizations for 30 years or longer. People work for 5 years and then they move on, and then they work somewhere else for 5 years. They work on a freelance basis. They work on a contract basis. So What is the best idea, for instance, once you leave one employment after 3 or 5 years, do you take that pension and invest it into the next company that you're moving into?
Yes, I think my default answer would be preservation is the best option for people, especially for people that move from one job to another. Because remember, you're saving this money because it's for your retirement. It's not for your immediate needs. This is money that you set aside for the day that you can no longer earn an income. So the best idea is where you move from one employer to another, you can transfer that money tax-free from, in most cases, from the one employer's fund to the next employer's fund. Or you can transfer it to what they call a preservation fund. Mm. So when you resign at one company, you transfer the money to a preservation fund. So the money stays in there till your retirement age or till you transfer it out to another fund. And I think that is important for people that leave one. It's never a good idea to take your pension money and see this as free money that you can now spend on whatever you want to spend it on. Mm. It's money that you've set aside for a certain purpose. And remember, if you take that money out in cash as a withdrawal benefit when you leave the one employer, it's normally only the first 25,000 rand that is tax-free. Everything above that, you pay between 18% and 36% tax on that money that you take out.
Yeah. Advice for people in terms of retirement withdrawal strategies?
Sure. I cannot give any advice because I'm not a registered financial advisor. I can just speak about general terms. I mean, firstly, when you retire, don't take out more money as a lump sum benefit than you actually need and look at the tax implications of that lump sum. The first 500,000 is normally tax-free. But speak to your financial advisor. And I think that the financial advisor, this is the type of thing that it's an individual thing. You get people that have other assets. For example, they've got properties where they have a rental income to supplement their pension. So that person, for example, would be advised to take less money out of their pension fund so it lasts longer because they've got another income stream. Another person might not have that income stream and might have to take out more money out of their retirement fund as a pension. So that depends on the individual. And, I mean, there's no generic formula that you can actually. The best thing is to speak to your financial advisor, sit down, and work out what do you actually need to take out on a monthly basis. Mm.
And the key thing is, how do you build in a cost of living cost into it? How do you build in an inflation cost into your pension fund?
I think it's a good idea to contribute, firstly, as much as you can. I know lately that there's a lot of freedom for people to contribute, and people have been starting. We all know we're feeling the pinch. Now we're contributing less and less to our pension fund, but we're actually doing ourselves harm in the long run. So firstly, contribute as much as you can, and every year when you have a salary increase, try to increase your contribution. If you're earning 100,000 rand, you can contribute 27,500 rand to your fund and get a tax deduction on that. So that means you're going to pay less tax. So whatever you put into that fund, the tax man is actually putting in some money for you as well. Mm. And we must just take that into consideration.
Financial people chatting to us say every year there's a salary increase. So once you've got a salary increase, and it's been difficult over the last couple of years for people to actually even see a salary increase. And with that salary increase, your pension would then obviously also increase. And that's one way of building